And we are live. Welcome to the Red Bird Red Zone Podcast. My name is Will, and you can find me on Twitter at LiveOnThatSwing. Joining me today, I've got my two lovely co-hosts. Why don't you two introduce yourselves?
What's up? It's Jackie. You can find me on Twitter at JSanDiego. That is two O's.
Yo, yo, it's Mac again, and you can find me on Twitter at AZSportsFiend. And we thank you guys for joining us for emergency pod number two in this offseason. Yes, you heard that. Number two, and we're barely a month in, so we appreciate you guys joining us on the Red Bird Red Zone podcast. And so let's get it going.
Episode 49.5, baby. Everything keeps happening all the time. Folks, shit just keeps happening. I mean, let's talk about Cliff Kingsbury and Keim first. So Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Keim were extended for five more years of mediocrity, folks. And frankly, I'm pissed. And I think a lot of Cardinals fans are pissed. And I think even the good faith arguments are fucking shaky. The best arguments I've seen is like, oh yeah, you know, Kyler wants continuity. If you want continuity, there's how you do it. But if you're going to do that, you block him down for 2 years, not fucking five. Guys, what do you think?
I'm not a fan, but I get the want for consistency, and you don't want to go into the next season with some uncertainty. And plus, it's 5 years. That's the norm, and they can get fired at any point within that 5 years. It's not like we're totally stuck, but it's still baffling. And to me, my biggest thing is, why did we extend them before Kyler with all the drama that's happening right now?
Yeah, I mean, if you wanna make things even shakier with your quarterback, I mean, that's how you do it.
Yeah, I'm sure it pissed him off.
I mean, I've calmed down a little bit. I think when the reports came out on Tuesday, I believe that Gambo, he finally got something right, folks. I know we've been kind of bashing on him a little bit, but
took him too long.
Yeah, and he said that he believes that Cliff and Keim will be extended this year. And I think that kind of threw Twitter in a little uproar. And then first thing, basically Wednesday morning, you know, I'm driving to work and I get the breaking news sounder on 98.7. I almost drive off the road and they say a fucking 5-year extension. And you know what? I think it's a sign that Michael Bidwell is happy about where the direction they're going. You know, we have increased the win total each every year. And I know people don't like to hear that. And Kyler Murray in his third year, he was basically the number one MVP halfway through the season. So I think you don't want to have a lame duck head coach and a lame duck GM with this growing franchise superstar quarterback when you're trying to bring in free agents and attract free agents. They want to know that there's going to be some stability in an offense and that they can come in here. And, you know, they're not going to have a new GM next season, hopefully. I mean, if that's the case, then, you know, this next season's obviously did not go as planned. But I don't hate it. And I know Monday, Kyler's agent dropped the bomb of a letter, which I know Will is talking that he wants to maybe read it. I don't know what you guys are thinking, Jackie, if we should read it all, because it's could take the whole podcast considering how fucking long it was. But
that shit was hard to read.
Yeah, grammar errors and shit. Yeah, small. Yeah. And I mean, I don't love, you know, that this is the way. I don't think anyone's loved how this offseason has gone. You know, there's with uncited sources left and right, and Kyler's seemingly not happy. And supposedly Michael Bidwell is super angry and then throws out the extension. And I just find it interesting that it did come out, you know, 2 days after Kyler publicly, you know, asked for a new contract. And the only thing I can really think of, maybe this is how they had it in the books. But another way to also think about it is, okay, maybe Michael Bidwell did hear about what Greg Jennings said, voicing basically what Larry Fitzgerald told him, and I think we'll probably get into that here shortly. And then you also, this could be Michael Bidwell almost as like a power move. You know, this is the structure that needs to happen first. Keim and Cliff were on the last year of their deals. Kyler's still locked up. I think it came out that Kime accepted the fifth-year option. So Kyler, basically that means Kyler's not going to hit free agency, and he's a Cardinal for the next 2 years no matter what. So I think it could just be kind of like an order of operations. You're going the GM and the head coach first because they only have 1 year left. And then, I think this 100% shows that the Cardinals will be extending Kyler this offseason, though. I don't know. Do you guys think an extension for Kyler is going to be this offseason, or are you guys holding Kyler, out, or what do you guys feel?
Kyler and Cliff have the same agent. That's all I need to really say.
Yeah, I feel like the extension's inevitable. It's just the timing is a little weird.
I'm seeing a lot of people say that Kyler doesn't deserve the extension. I was like, just because he had a shaky last couple of games this year doesn't mean he's a bad quarterback. Like, I saw some people say, oh, he's not even a top 15 quarterback. It's like, did you watch the same guy I did? Like, I said on Twitter that at his peak, Kyler Murray is a top 5 quarterback. And some guy was like, oh, well, what about Ryan Tannehill and David Carr? It's like, sorry, Derek Carr. It's like, who the fuck do you think Kyler Murray is, man? Derek Carr?
At his peak, he is what he is, you know, an MVP candidate. The whole issue is it's got to be for the whole season. You know, we've gone in depth with the Cliff and late season collapses and everything, but Kyler's right there with them for the last 3 years.
And that starts with the GM. We need a fucking O-line in the draft. If we draft a middle linebacker or, God help me, a goddamn quarterback in that first round, I'm going to be pissed. I have made that narrative up in my head, and I'm rolling with it because it just makes me angry.
And according to rumors, apparently we are not parting ways with the 23rd pick. So be prepared for disappointment.
Lovely. Kyle was acting all high and mighty, like, oh, well, we keep our picks around here. And it's like the two of the teams in our division that didn't keep their picks were in the goddamn NFC Championship. What the fuck are you talking about?
He boasted that we're the only team in the NFC West that still has first round draft picks. And we're also the only team that's never had a Super Bowl appearance in the last 10 years.
Get him, Jackie.
And the thing that pisses me off is that people are like, oh yeah, well, you know, long term the Rams are gonna be shit in like 5 years. We've been saying that for 5 years and they're still winning.
Exactly.
So what the fuck is going on?
Get him, Will.
I will take a single fucking fluke Super Bowl run with Matt Stafford over fucking 10 years with Steve Keim. Are you fucking kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of like you gotta have some certain kind of balls to be boasting about having the only first round pick in division when your last two first round picks that were drafted higher than we were drafted this year basically rode the bench each of the first 2 years. And Isaiah Simmons, he only played 19 snaps in the playoff game. So you can boast about having a first round pick all you want. And I know we've talked about it, how we would like to move it for, you know, a veteran player, someone established. And to me, that seems like the ideal way to go about it, but we'll see what happens.
Steve Keim has no right to be that goddamn cocky. I'm gonna end it there because I don't want to fucking rant anymore.
No, but going back to also Michael Bidwell and maybe why he did this, it came out last week, I believe. Greg Jennings, and I think we should talk about this. I mean. It involves the Cardinals and Kyler Murray. So Greg Jennings went on the Herd of Colin Cowherd last Tuesday, and he said that he was talking to his good friend Larry Fitzgerald, and he remembers sitting down with him and asking him specifically about Kyler. And Fitz said one of the things that he felt was that they rolled out the carpet, they as the organization rolled out the red carpet too soon for a young guy. They gave Kyler everything he wanted, anything. He had free reign, and it started to show in his personality and how he carried himself. When you do that, you make that decision that early, you set yourself up for failure. This is what's happening right now at the organization, Kyler, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, I don't believe that he just took this out of thin air or anything like that. Like, he doesn't have a reason to lie. Larry Fitzgerald doesn't have a reason to really lie. And I know Larry came out and shot it down. Not shot it down, but...
He's never said he's had a problem.
To be fair, with things like that, I mean, what else are you going to say? You know?
Yeah. Oh, that's what I had. I had this whole fucking list of notes going. Larry Fitzgerald's dad. How about that fucking guy? But before I even get there, I just want to say, Bidwell, this could be, I mean, this is just, you know, I'm pulling a Johnny right here, okay? I'm admitting it. But this could also be a power move, you know? Maybe he did hear those things about what Larry Fitzgerald possibly was saying about Kyler Murray and how they did roll out the red carpet. And we don't know, okay, folks? It, you know, we all we hear is what people want us to hear. We don't know what happens inside that locker room, what happens in the practice facility. We don't, we really do not know. But we do know that there has been smoke about Larry wasn't thrilled with the whole Kyler thing. You know, that's been kind of going for like a year now. So maybe Bidwell did catch wind of it. And then he obviously sees that his agent drops this on Monday, comes out Tuesday, kind of leaks something that, oh, Kyle and Cliff are going to get extensions. And that kind of threw everything in the fucking frenzy. But for him to go and give those two guys first, which I do think it's more order of operations than anything, but it could also definitely be a power move to try to regain some of that power back. Let Kyler wait. He doesn't need to get paid today, tomorrow. He doesn't need to get paid this month. He's going to get paid this offseason, but he can't be telling you when to get paid and when not to, you know, do things. This is your company. This is your business. So I don't mind letting him wait. Let him fucking be angry. Let him fucking get his emotions all together. Let him go out there and let him fucking take it out on the practice field this summer and let him strive to want to fucking be the greatest player that he could be in this world without, you know, just paying him early in the offseason. Just, I like that. I like that, you know, we paid Cliff and Kime, and that really does just set up the whole, we're going to pay you, Kyler, but it's going to be not on the contract you sent us necessarily.
Not on your terms.
It's our terms. You know, I wish the agent would have dropped what those terms were. If, you know, if it was like, okay, he wants Patrick Mahomes money, because let's be real, he does not deserve Patrick Mahomes money. Patrick Mahomes won a Super Bowl, you know, MVPs. So it is kind of curious. I would love to be that fly on the wall, you know, reading that email that they sent them or whatever with the, okay, we want 5 years, $250 million. He's going to get paid, but I think it's going to be on the Cardinals' terms, and I do think that's going to happen this offseason, though.
Yeah.
I want to see him get paid because this feels like the most electrifying quarterback we've ever had.
Right.
Oh, bar none.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's a very different mentality that I'm seeing from these fans than I have any other Cardinals quarterback, and it makes me uncomfortable.
I could see how Kyler and his agent have turned people off, though. You know, the way the last month and a half went. Last month and a half, he did not look like a franchise quarterback, but we have a bigger sample size to say that, you know, as long as he's healthy and we have an offensive line in front of him and, you know, he's got wide receivers capable of stepping up for the moment, then, you know, we don't have to worry about that. But I just think the way the season ended, bad taste in the mouth, and him scrubbing his social, like, he's showing his immaturity. Maybe it's him just listening to his agent, which happens all the time, you know? But I feel like almost Kyler's a guy that he's not going to do something that his agent fucking wants him to do. His agent's going to do what Kyler wants to do. You know, that's just kind of the way that the game goes. So I can see how at least a sour taste on some people's mouth. I mean, it gets old, man. And I don't blame totally Kyler alone. It's a whole organizational kind of failure to not come out and back up your quarterback to where he feels scapegoated. He shouldn't ever felt scapegoated. And, you know, and when it comes out that he didn't want to go back in the game, people are just going to look at that. And it feels like just this offseason, him and his agent have been given his critics like gas for the fire, you know? So I do hope that this gets all settled and squared away. And, you know, before the season starts, he's happy. Franchise is happy. Fans are happy. And we go out and we build even more next year.
Yep, and the first step to that, folks, I'm going to say it here, I'm saying it here now, Odell Beckham to the Cardinals, baby. Let's get it. Let's go.
I got to go. Bye.
Lord. Nah, I mean,
he's hurt. He tore his ACL, right? He gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Should I read the letter or should I just not?
You can just get the gist.
Yeah, or maybe we could read it, and maybe we could stop every like few sentences and kind of see if anything sticks out to us. Yeah.
Should I use my own voice or a high and mighty voice?
High and mighty.
Tyler wishes to be direct with loyal Arizona Cardinals
fans. Okay,
your
regular voice.
With loyal Arizona Cardinals fans in the great community of the Valley, and stating his two most important goals and objectives. One, he wants to be a long-term quarterback, and two, he desperately wants to win the Super Bowl. Achieving both goals will take incredible commitment from himself and the entire organization. Despite all of Kyler's energy and being focused on the future, he is very proud of the franchise's extreme turnaround and competitiveness and success since his arrival, alongside his teammates and coaches. A successful and valuable foundation for the organization has been built. The team and Kyler's individual three-year track record of undisputed and increasingly positive results, while the extremely challenging circumstances of walking into a three-win team with the last-ranked offense in the toughest division in football speaks for itself. The Cardinals are the only franchise in the NFL to have improved by three or more wins in each of the last three seasons. Kyler was tasked with stepping into a tough situation and named the starter on day one of his arrival. He has delivered and exceeded all reasonable expectations along the way in winning NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, followed by back-to-back Pro Bowls in the ultra-competitive and QB-loaded NFC. Looking ahead, Kyler believes that in order to consistently compete for championships and ultimately deliver for the Valley, their first Super Bowl in 33-plus years. What? Oh, yeah. I was confused. Yeah, it would be their first Super Bowl in the Valley, I guess. There needs to be a long-term stability for both the organization and himself to overtly communicate Kyler's desire to be the Cardinals' long-term QB. We sent a detailed contract proposal to the organization. It was important to Kyler that in his proposal reflected all of the following. Provides financial protection in line with current QB market that compares to his results alongside relevant comps. Lowers his 2022 salary cap number. Represents a real commitment to the organization to see if their ultimate goals align with his two above.
Can I just say how fucking ridiculous it is after year three for someone to drop something like this, like for his agent to do that? That never has happened.
Yeah, no, you agent. Got a guy on a rookie deal with this bullshit.
Yeah, it's just
talking about me. Look at all I've done.
So I don't
her fucking ass before me. Pay me.
Yeah, it does make it, you know, as a fan, you kind of feel a little slimy. I don't know. I know there are a lot of people who just will only purely defend Kyler 100% of the time, and only people who bash Kyler 100% of the time, and it's somewhere in the middle, you know. I don't dislike the guy. I feel like he has been nurtured. He's almost been spoiled a little bit, but you know, he's been the best player on the field every day of his fucking life. So
I want him to get paid, but his actions do annoy me.
I'm kind of hoping Lamar Jackson comes out and signs a deal. That would set the market for Kyler a little bit.
Yeah.
Because Kyler shouldn't, in my opinion, get something higher than Lamar. He shouldn't get more money than, you know, an MVP. So I would think that would kind of set the market and kind of set a bar right there to, okay, well, we can get you right around this range right here, just right under Lamar. So, but yeah, I don't know. Will, you don't feel like kind of grimy reading that letter a little bit, thinking about, okay, this guy's in year three. And sure, we won 11 games last year. Nobody would have, before the season, would have been mad if somebody would have told you that. But how do you feel, Will, just going back over and reading it?
This is not the popular opinion. I felt a little grimy reading it, but I mean, he has every right to be this cocky. I mean, he is the best quarterback this franchise has ever drafted. Of course he's going to be fucking cocky. I mean, pay the man. We have seen what this man can do when he is at his peak, and at his peak, he is a top five quarterback. And you're not going to find that. You're probably not going to find that right away in the draft, and you're definitely not going to find that in the free agency market anytime soon. So you just fucking pay the guy. It's that simple.
And I think they will, you know. And
I think they were going to anyways without this letter.
Yeah, probably heading into the offseason, they figured. And I mean, it even just puts more pressure on time to get a deal done, though. Because, I mean, I heard Gambo saying that, you know, if they don't pay him he's not going to play for $5 million. He'll request a trade, and that is the one thing you cannot have happen. Because while everyone wants to say, "Oh, Keim has all the leverage here," you know, we've been talking about this. When you draft a fucking quarterback first, the year after drafting a quarterback 10, you're fucking eating out of his hand right there. Everything he wants, you're going to do. And it sounds like that's kind of what they've been doing, kind of giving him everything he fucking wants. And maybe they talk to the organization after the season. That's what they brought up. And the organization's like, yeah, we're going to wait a little bit, you know. And they didn't like that. So they're like, okay, well, we're going to make it public. We're going to put a little pressure on you, you know. And for Gamma to say that he thinks Kyler would demand a trade if he's, doesn't get a contract by the end of the year. I believe he said that before Keim and Kliff got extended. So that's why when you extend Keim and Kliff, that 100% tells me they're 100% all in on Kyler Murray and that he will be extended as well. Because you're not going to let, you're not going to risk Kyler requesting a trade and not wanting to play for you when you basically brought this head coach in who's tailor-made for this quarterback. You know, you're just not going to let that go to waste at all. And I saw some people say they were surprised that, oh, we were surprised Keim got an extension, but not too surprised about Kliff. Or I literally saw it both ways. People were like, oh, I was surprised that Kliff got an extension, but, you know, I figured Keim would. Now, these two are, this even solidifies even further that these two are hand in hand, locked up. You're not going to extend Kliff and then have this GM on a one-year deal, and let's say you get rid of the GM. Now you're going to bring in a GM, pigeon toe him with this head coach. Like, that's just, so it just further solidifies. And I would, at the end of the day, I think that Kyler will get an extension that lines up directly with Kliff and Keim's year extension. So I would expect a 4 or 5 year deal right around when they get their deal comes undone. Sorry for the rant, folks.
Let me get more beer. It's fine.
But the thing is, it's like this whole extending them thing, it was kind of like out of left field after this letter came out. And I think it's not good for, I guess, the morale as far as Kyler goes, because I can see a situation where this probably pissed him off.
I hope it did.
It probably pissed him off. And he's probably thinking, like, these two motherfuckers were just as every bit a part of the second half downfall. But they're getting extended, and I'm being painted as the fucking villain.
Yep.
And then his agent's not helping him with this letter bullshit. Because at first, my first takeaway of the letter was, like, maybe, like, okay, this is full transparency. This is why he deleted all the shit off his Instagram. Like, this is the situation. He's not happy. But the way it was worded, just, it rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah, and I mean, Kyler can take this one of two ways. He can buck down and get to work, you know? And hopefully the Cardinals have told him that, you know, there will be a deal done this offseason. Trust us, you know? We just extended the GM who fucking got rid of a top 10 quarterback for you and brought in this basically a failed fucking college coach who has a system designed directly for you. Like, we're trying to be in lockstep with you, but he can go one of two ways. He can pout, whine, cry, not work, you know, stay at home, fucking whatever, or he can bust his ass. And if he's the first guy right there, we don't want that guy, you know? So maybe they're going to see, okay, well, let's do this, and let's see how he responds. If he responds like a fucking baby, and his agent responds like a baby, then maybe they'll be a little bit more reluctant. But, I mean, the Cardinals are kind of in a situation where they have to pay the guy no matter fucking what.
Yeah. But what sucks is that, like, we're rubbing him the wrong way, and there's just a lot of drama that I can kind of foresee him wanting a trade somewhere down the line.
And you know what? That's been in the back of my head too, like this.
Yeah.
This last like week and a half, and I hate it.
I've had that like consensus about him long before this, like when the Rodgers was coming out saying he wants more say with the team, when Russell Wilson started being more vocal and saying, you know, I'm tired of getting hit. I thought I can 100% see Kyler Murray being that
player. At one point. Yeah.
Yeah. At some point in his career, saying, you know what, I want this.
And he has every right to be that fucking mad.
Cardinals need to keep going on. It's just amazing how the season started to how it ended. You know, lose D Hop, you lose Rodney Hudson, you basically lose your two running backs for the back half of the season. That they weren't playing together at the same time.
In that first half of the season, it felt like watching the Suns last year and just seeing magic happen.
That was a Super Bowl caliber team.
Oh yeah,
I went to get wings with my dad after I think it was after the Rams win, and I was like, "What if this is it? You know, what if this is our year?" And to see that just collapse so rapidly, it was heartbreaking. It sucked.
You know, it sucks. It's like I feel like I enjoyed the journey, but I don't think I enjoyed it enough because I always felt like, I know you guys could probably relate to this, I always felt like, you know, okay, we're one hit away from shit going awry. We're, you know, and this team really didn't handle adversity as well as
we had all thought.
Yeah, or as well as even championship caliber teams really have to. When you lose D-Hop, you're not going to replace his numbers no matter what. But when you have nobody else step up and you're basically number one guy is a 30-plus-year-old tight end and Zach Ertz, it was just disappointing.
We rolled over.
We can't go in and we can't go into next offseason or next season with someone like Robert Alford. Like, how many times did we talk about it, like, leading into last season is, okay, I'll take Robert Alford back, but you cannot basically entrench him into a starting spot to where if he gets hurt, then we don't have the depth. And that's exactly what happened for the third straight year. He got hurt, and Keim definitely deserves fault for not being able to, one, go out and even try to replace some production up front, losing J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt goes down, and you're running 32-year-old, 34-year-old, or whatever, how old he is, Corey Peters out there for over 60% of the snaps in the playoff game. That's not gonna work. So Keim did a great job building up the top half of the roster, I feel like. The depth, it obviously came to show that it just was not where it needed to be. I don't know how we got on this tangent. Where were we?
Kyler. The trade deadline last year was fucking late enough that we could have made a move for Watt. I mean, we saw Watt get injured in that Texans game, and the trade deadline was like 2-3 weeks later. We could have made a move. We should have made a move. We didn't make a move.
Oh, I agree, and I feel for the fans who are pissed to have Keim and Cliff back to a certain extent. I mean, this is the first winning season in the last six seasons, which doesn't look great for Keim, but he has been able to now build two playoff-worthy teams with two different quarterbacks, which is fairly rare in the NFL. So I think Bidwell kind of bid on that and kind of saw, we have a franchise quarterback now after having an aging one in Carson Palmer. Obviously, Keim and Bidwell are buddies, and that probably went a little bit of a long way. But you know what? I am happy that it wasn't just Keim extended. That would have left a sour taste in my mouth because
that
I've always
pissed me off even more.
Oh my God! Right? Because we've always felt that Keim and Cliff are tied together, and if you would have extended the GM, that would have burned down fucking Card's Twitter, I think. So, but I do. Every indication points that extending Cliff and Keim, it means there's a payday around the corner for Kyler. He just has to be a little fucking patient. Be patient. Stop being in the fucking news every. I don't want to wake up every fucking week and seeing this new shit going on fucking with the Cardinals between not only Kyler, but with the fucking organization and these leaks that are coming out. Get your shit together. Act like a fucking grade A franchise, please. Your fans deserve better.
Seeing Booker and Booker getting COVID and that happening on the same morning, it just made me want to go back to bed. Woof.
Yeah, sports gods. The sports gods and Arizona. I don't know what happened.
It's the Pottsville curse, man. Yeah. Nothing good has happened since.
So we have some Native American curse or something that's built like on top of the practice facility or under the practice facility.
Mm-mm. Nope, it's Pottsville, man. It always has been.
The Pottsville curse.
from Chicago. What happened again? Tell me.
That's Pennsylvania. So the Pottsville Maroons.
The Pottsville Maroons were a team in either 1924 or 25. And the Cardinals and the Maroons basically had the same record, but the Maroons had one more win. So the Maroons were supposed to get the championship, right? Wrong. One of those games was unsanctioned. So the NFL was like, actually, it's the Cardinals' championship. And Pottsville hated that. It was a big controversy at the time. And supposedly there was a curse put on the Arizona Cardinals.
Yep. You said 1924, 25, something like that?
Early NFL. Yep.
Well, hopefully, fingers crossed, it doesn't extend past a 100-year curse. The Cubs won a fucking World Series. The Red Sox won a World Series. The Eagles won a fucking Super Bowl. It's the Cardinals' time soon enough. Let's fucking... It's the Cardinal... Just depresses me thinking about the sports landscape around here, man. Even the Suns, no matter how great they are right now, it's always that thought in the back of your mind. Just stay healthy. Fingers crossed. Just stay fucking healthy. Stay healthy. And it's like, okay. Chris Paul's out. Yeah. It's like, can we just simulate these games, get to the playoffs, you know, just make sure everyone's okay. Let's go. Because as a fucking Arizona sports fan, it's always like you got to kind of look around the corner before taking that step across, you know, like there's always something being thrown at you or, you know, but we built different, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Shit. It's just never easy, man.
Nope.
The Charlotte soccer team, they're about, for their first game, they're about to get.
Like, all right, we're done, folks. We're talking about Charlotte soccer now.
Well, no, I'm comparing the landscape. No, okay. They're about to get like 73,000 people for the fucking debut.
Shut up. Well, are they playing in Panther Stadium?
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be like the biggest MLS game in like league history or some shit.
Yeah. Well, the Coyotes be playing in front of 7,000 next couple of years.
I remember last year when I was doing deliveries, I was listening to the radio, and one of the talk show guys was talking about, you know, fans being pissed about season tickets for that soccer team being so high. And he was like, well, you know, Jerry Jones, you know, he sets his ticket prices however you want. You just have to be the market. And it's like, this is an expansion soccer team, my guy.
Yeah, it's just people. I feel like some people think they're just, you know, they have this money, you know, and they have this power within their organization or whatnot. And they just get these beliefs in their head that are just kind of delusional, you know.
David Tepper, if I remember right, is like the richest NFL owner.
Who the fuck is that?
He's the owner of the Panthers, some hedge fund guy.
Oh.
Go figure.
$15 million.
$15 billion?
$15 billion.
Sheesh. Oh.
Ugly motherfucker.
I'm sure he gets some hot ass bitches though, right?
If Mike Zimmer can
get just we were just talking about last time. Yep.
If this woman in these pictures is his wife, then
side chick. He's got a couple side chicks.
Yeah, he frequents the Robert Kraft massage parlors in Florida.
But yeah, shit, we're just rambling at this point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're at, what, 40
I've
minutes?
I've said my piece about this, and hopefully we don't have to keep talking about this.
If we have an emergency podcast number three, I'm going to fucking shoot somebody.
I'm basically...
like a signing or trade or something.
I'm basically trying to avoid getting to 50 before the draft. So if we do another one, it's going to be like 49.6, 49.7.
Oh, so, and if you're still listening here, thank you guys. If you haven't turned us off, appreciate it. We have been talking about... Jackie's gone. Fuck. Okay. We have been talking about doing Twitter spaces for draft night. So hopefully we can get that going where people can jump in there. And I think we could just assign power to people to talk, you know, one at a time. Boom, boom, boom. Say our piece. And then, you know, I've joined a couple. I joined one for like ASU football and the whole Herm Edwards shit was going on. And then a Suns one recently. And I think it's kind of cool where you can still be on Twitter. And and scrolling through Twitter, but you have this like chat bar where you can hear the audio and everything, and you can chime in if you want. You can request to talk, and so hopefully we can get that going for you guys.
It's gonna be draft, fun.
And hopefully some of you guys join us.
And I'll still do my Twitter live tweet draft party where I just bullshit and talk shit about all the draft picks while I'm super drunk.
Watch us try to do that Twitter spaces, and it's like, oh yeah, Kaim is traded down to the 30th pick.
Oh god.
We'll be like, bye.
We'll be fucking annihilated by then.
You'll have to do it topless, Jackie, so we can get some good viewership. Even though you can't see nobody in there. We'll just say you're
nobody
conscious.
Nobody wants titties. I'm lactating. These are fucking working titties now. These aren't for fun titties. These are 9-to-5 titties.
This 805 beer is getting a little squirmy. Oh, shit! Announce it. What did Bo Bobbles just say?
Bobby voice reveal. Damn, Charlie's Angels coming full fucking circle. Okay.
If you guys follow Bo Bobbles, is going to do a voice reveal. I do not believe her, but make sure you give her a follow. She's a great follow, Bo Bobble. We don't know if he's a guy or girl, so we're just, you know, we're fucking with her.
International man of mystery.
Yeah, could be some hot-ass chick over there. Jackie wants to hook up with you, Bo Bobble. Bo Babels. Okay, yeah, we're kind of just fucking rambling.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we can do this for free agency, right? That happens... I don't expect the Cardinals to be players those first like day or two. With all the big names,
I figured we could do it after the draft. That way we can cover free agency and the draft.
We'll see how it goes. We'll see who we sign. Like fuck, if we sign some shit and people hit us up. Shout out to Juan hitting us up, fucking saying we need to do an emergency podcast.
We did this for you, Juan.
Tyler last time he said we listen to you folks. Okay,
we
listen to you. Shout out to Robert. Our guy Robert started listening to us. He gave us some good praise and stuff. So shout out Robert Orozco, I believe is the last name. So what up, dog?
Shout out to the whole kangaroo chat on Twitter.
Yeah.
I should probably start plugging some more.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend, dog. I heard you got a little girlfriend now. How's that going?
Yeah, little girlfriend.
She's really cool. I'm trying to get her into football.
Have her listen.
It's an uphill battle, but you know, I'm getting there.
My girlfriend just asked me. I live with her. We've been together like almost 3 years now. She just asked me last night. She's like, "Okay, babe." She's like, "Okay, so offense. If you're on offense, does that mean the guy who has the ball, and it's also the guys that are trying to hit him, like run at him?" I'm like, No. Offense is the whole team that has the ball. Defense is the part that's, and she's like, "Oh my god, I thought it was just offense on the field the whole time for both." I'm like, "Oh my god, I'm failing you so much. I'm failing you."
That's cute though. She's trying.
She's doing her best, and I praise her for that.
Shout out, baby. Shout out, Samantha.
But yeah, I'm gonna try to have her over on Tuesday to get her into the Suns. So
nice.
There you go.
Let's start
with a good team first, and then we'll ease her into the Cardinals.
Suns, Phoenix Rising. We'll work our way down from there. Mercury start in a few months, I think. So, and then the Cardinals season. What kind of
the Phoenix wiffle ball team or something?
Yeah. Rest in peace, baseball. There's been no Diamondbacks this year.
Oh god. Yeah.
Fuck the MLB commissioner. He can go to hell.
The owners. Yep. We can all eat shit, man.
Smug motherfuckers.
Hey, as a Diamondbacks fan, you can't lose 162 games if you don't play 162 games, baby. So we're good.
Not their ass.
Can't win if you don't play.
But yeah, shit, we're fucking rambling at this point. Should we close out?
Let's close out. Let's do it.
All right, perfect. This has been another fantastic fucking episode of the Redbird Red Zone podcast. My name is Will. You can find me on Twitter at LiveOnThatSwing.
My name's Jackie. You can find me on Twitter at JSanDiego. That is two O's.
And it's Mac again, and you can find me on Twitter at AZSportsFiend.
And this has been a Redbird Red Zone podcast, a Max Hall production. Peace the fuck out. See you on draft night, folks.
Peace.